Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Trudy Weekman, so that people are able to hear the message of salvation.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Did you hear what Harry did? Did you hear about it?
No, I didn't hear anything. What was the deal?
It wasn't so much what he did, really, but what he didn't do. You know, I had a bunch of people over to my house and we were doing some painting and stuff. And what's Harry do but he just leans on his shovel the whole time, doesn't do one darn thing. He's just sitting around sipping the tea that's meant for all the workers, and he's not working one bit. He's lazy. That's what he is.
Really? Huh. Well, I've known Harry for a long time, and I guess I have noticed he doesn't really seem to step up very much at church. He doesn't really volunteer all too often, and he eats more desserts than most, I guess. I don't know. I was going to have him over to my house. We're going to have another work thing, but maybe I don't want a guy like that coming over. I mean, he's not going to do anything anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that just like the world today? People are lazy. They're just lazy. They don't even know how it used to be. It's like they never lived on the farm or anything. We worked hard. Let me say it one more time. We worked hard. Harder than anybody works today. I mean, goodness, they got it so easy they don't even know what they got. And they're just a bunch of lazy folks.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Now, I hope you'll excuse my poor acting abilities this morning. Just look past that if you can. But all I was sort of feebly trying to do for you is to put on display a few of the ways that we commonly deal with sin when we see it in other people. When we notice someone else's sin, in this case I just use laziness as an example, but of course you could pick just about anything. And probably if I was a little smarter or more creative or industrious or something, I could come up with a whole list of different ways that we deal with sin when we see it in other people. But I've just got a three that I think are pretty solid. Feel free to disagree afterwards if you like. The first way that we like to deal with sin in other people is to announce their sin. We see somebody else do something wrong that we don't like, and what we do very first, oftentimes, is to make sure that everybody else knows about it. Hey, did you hear what Harry did or didn't do? Now, of course, with all these, maybe not of course, there's kind of a kernel of an excuse, maybe, for good behavior in all these things. So, for example, with this one, you know, we want to make sure to call sin, sin. We don't want to pretend like wrong things are right things. We'd be just upside down if that were the case. But normally we go well beyond that, far beyond that. And instead of, you know, defending our neighbor's reputation, instead of speaking well of our neighbors and building them up, instead of taking the things that they do, everything that all of our neighbors do, and explaining them in the kindest way we can think of, we're much more happy to announce to the world all the wrong things that they've done, all the ways that they've screwed up, and make it plain as day to anyone that will listen that I am far better than they are. I wasn't leaning on my shovel. No, 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 sir. The second way that I just contrived of in my head that we deal with sin when we see it again in other people is to avoid those people. Now, once again, there's sort of a kernel of truth or goodness to this. We want to, of course, avoid sin. It's terrible. We don't want to do it. We don't want to get sucked into it. But oftentimes what this amounts to is we wind up avoiding other people because we think they're sort of untouchable. Well, I heard what that guy did. I'm not sure I should be associated with someone like that. So rather than owning people, especially these people, as our brothers and sisters in Christ, we separate ourselves because we think we are far too good to associate with them. So we announce sin, we avoid sin. The third one, again, that I just sort of made up, is we like to condemn sin when we see it, of course, in other people. Remember that, in other people. And once again, sin is condemnable, right? It's what it is. It's sin. It should be condemned. But we like instead to sit in judgment over everyone else. We like, instead of saying that sin is wrong, that sin is bad, we take that and we say, well, that person is bad. And by bad, we normally, of course, mean worse than me. So we announce others' sin. We avoid others when they sin. And we certainly condemn others when they sin. This is what I say, some pretty common ways that we address these problems among ourselves. But if you were listening when we heard the epistle lesson this morning, then you heard about a different way, dare I say a better way, I might even say a holy way, of dealing with sin when we see it in others. St. Paul has some pretty plain instructions for how we should go about dealing with sin when it crops up in our midst. Brothers, he says, brothers, that's important. That means he's talking to the church. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, there's a few words there that could be misconstrued. First one, probably being caught. If anyone is caught in any transgression, he says. If you hear that kind of the wrong way, you might take that as sort of like we're all watching out for each other, right? Now, what'd you do? What'd you do this week? Where were you? Who were you with? What'd you watch on TV? So I'm just spying on everybody and watching out to see if I can catch them in their sin or transgression. That's what he says. But that's not what he's talking about. When he says caught, he means caught as in a lamb caught in a thicket. Like an animal caught in a trap. Like a person who is just walking around, walking along and all of a sudden finds themselves neck deep in quicksand is caught. See, Paul sees sin a little differently than we do. He sees sin as a trap. You might even say like a lion walking around waiting to devour you. And he knows that people get caught up in sin. So that just like the guy caught in the quicksand, the only way out is for someone to extend a helping hand, to pull him out of his trouble. And that's exactly what he encourages us to do this morning. If you find anyone caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now the other word here, spiritual, that brings up a lot of sort of images that are kind of weird, frankly, today. So when he says spiritual, he's not talking about somebody who's really into mindfulness. He's not talking about somebody who has like a few too many crystals around their house. He's not talking about someone who has a wide collection of oils or salts. Okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, just trust me, the internet is a weird place. No, when he says spiritual, he means the Spirit's people. You who are spiritual, you who have been claimed by the Holy Spirit of God, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So make no mistake, when he's writing this to the church in Galatia, he might as well have addressed it right here to our Savior's Lutheran Church, to all of you, you who have been claimed, who have been washed, who have been absolved, should restore one another when someone is caught in transgression with a spirit of gentleness. Finally, restore. And this gets once again to the difference between the way that we often think of sin and the way that St. Paul thinks of sin. A lot of times the reason that we deal with people the way we do when they sin is we think of sin as this issue of willpower, of something that you're in complete control over. And so if you just take control of your life and get things in order, then you wouldn't have the problems that we do. This is what allows us to think self-righteously of ourselves, that we are better than they are, that everybody needs to know how terrible this thing is that they've done or not done, because I am certainly not as weak as they are. But St. Paul uses the word restore, because he sees sin not as a lack of willpower in a person, but again, as a lion marching around looking to eat you. He sees it as a disease that intends for you death. He sees sin as something that tears down rather than builds up. He sees sin as something that leeches life rather than gives it. And so his picture, the picture that we might put to his words, of the Christian church as a whole bunch of little doctors walking around and looking for those who are injured and hurt and caught and trapped, that we might restore them. Think of the way a physician might put stitches gently into an elderly person's wound. Think about the way that a doctor might set the broken arm of a young boy. The goal there is to restore them, to return them to the good health that God intends with a spirit of gentleness. That's a picture we've got this morning. And now I know at first blush, when you hear things like this, at least with me, a lot of times they just kind of wash over you and you go by, you say, well, that's fine, whatever. It's kind of churchy words I've heard before. But hopefully when you think about it a little bit more, you recognize this is a strange way to deal with people. This really is not the natural way that we would choose to deal with one another, as evidenced by the fact that we often don't. But St. Paul didn't just make this up. He didn't just decide that he had some principles that would be really great for the growth of the church in Galatia. You know, if they want to get their attendance numbers up, I think the strategy they should employ is this one. Instead, he had an image given to him by none other than God himself. Because our Lord, the creator of the universe, knows every hair on your head. And that means he also knows every sin that you've committed or will commit, even the ones that other people are not aware of. But knowing this, his strategy was not to announce to all the world what you have done and what you have left undone. He didn't decide that you, of all sinners, should be avoided. He didn't take you and quarantine you off by yourself as some exceptional sinner that might contaminate everyone else. Instead, he came among us himself. He took on our human flesh to live here in our midst. Not that he would be contaminated, but that he would cleanse the entire cosmos. That he himself would restore humanity's fallenness to its proper righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not in order to condemn the world. We stood condemned already by ourselves. But in order that the entire world might live through him. He came into this world, shed his blood, and was raised again to reach out his hand and rescue fallen humanity from our trap, from the thicket in which we were all caught. What's amazing is that he's gone even beyond that, ascended into heaven, and poured out his Holy Spirit on this Holy Church. He has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctifies you that you might go forth and pour out that same love that he has imaged to you on everyone that you meet. And St. Paul knows that's exactly what the church is about, so he gives us these instructions. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are the Spirit's chosen people should restore him using that Spirit's gentleness. Brothers and sisters, you are restored. And at the same time, you are restorers who have been given the health of God to go out and spread it to the entire world, beginning right here with your brothers and sisters. Know that, believe it, trust it, today and forever. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.